This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio at sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at sportstalknet. The Steve Callis Show on sportstalknetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Tuesday, February 21st, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio at sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today, as always. We start right in Madison Square Garden, where the Knicks getting a bunch of new players in the last few days. Did the Linsanity continue? Did Darren Williams get his revenge? Well, the Nets go in and frankly dominate the Knicks. Nets 100, Knicks 92. Really wasn't even that close, frankly, and it was the Darren Williams show. Again, to me, Derrick Rose and Darren Williams are the two best point guards in the NBA. Chris Paul, to me, a little behind them. But the notion that this was just Williams against Lynn, the revenge game, et cetera, et cetera, I didn't buy into that, although Williams said after the game he was upset that he was being asked so many questions about Linsanity, and it actually started, of course, when Jeremy Lin did not start but came into that net game, I think 17 days ago now, had 25-7 against Williams. Of course, Williams probably didn't even know who the guy was. But yesterday, Darren Williams showed to me anyway why he's one of the two best point guards in the NBA. Again, if the Nets can get Dwight Howard and Brook Lopez is back playing, we'll talk about that a little bit. He didn't play last night. If the Nets can get Dwight Howard to come to New Jersey to move to Brooklyn with Howard and Williams, well, my goodness, that's going to be unbelievable if they move into Brooklyn with that kind. If Howard doesn't come, I don't think Williams is going to stay. I mean, he's a one-man wrecking crew. But the Nets, even with the win yesterday, moved to 10-24. I think Avery Johnson is a good coach. I think they have the pieces in place. I mean, they certainly look good yesterday, and while Williams was the man, they've got Marshawn Brooks, a very good scorer. Humphries is a double-double, 14 points, 14 rebounds last night. Deshaun Stevenson, a good defensive player, had a good game last night. Even Sheldon Williams, the former Knick, with 10 rebounds. So they do have pieces to the puzzle. Brook Lopez did not play for the Nets last night because he missed 32 games with a broken foot. He came back and played on Sunday. They didn't want him to go back-to-back, so he took last night off. And the Nets still, again, they were up, my goodness, they were up 18 points after three quarters. It really wasn't a game. Now, the Knicks were hurt for a number of reasons, and I thought one of the most important was Iman Shumpert, who can really defend. He's only a rookie, but he can defend. He had tendonitis in his knee, not a good sign after 30 games in your rookie season. He didn't play, and Bill Walker didn't play. But I thought Shumpert maybe could have at least slowed down Darren Williams. But although he torched Lynn, he torched everybody. I mean, he hit three threes in the third quarter when Lynn was on the bench. So it's not like it was just one against the other. Lynn, in his own right, 36 minutes, 21 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds, 4 steals, 3 turnovers for Lynn. Again, he's shown that he's an NBA point guard and a good one. But yesterday it was all about the Nets. The Knicks trying to incorporate Carmelo Anthony in his first day back. Carmelo 4 for 11, 11 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds, clearly going out of his way to try and work his teammates in. You know, they killed Jeremy Lin. Carmelo had 6 turnovers yesterday. And he certainly didn't have the ball half as much as Jeremy Lin had it. But that's okay. They have a lot of pieces to put together. Baron Davis also played. Hit 1-3, 1-for-2 in 9 minutes and 40 seconds of play. Again, they're going to have to work on their rotation. D'Antoni has said it's going to be till after the All-Star break. Apparently right after the All-Star break, the Knicks have a game, and then they have like 3 days off till their next game. That'll be when they'll be able to practice. But the Knicks do have a ton of talent now. Stoudemire's back. To me, he doesn't look good. He doesn't look healthy. He did have 17 and 4 rebounds yesterday. He doesn't look to me to be 100%. He needs the break to heal up, I hope, I think. Tyson Chandler, 14 points, 8 rebounds. I mean, look at the talent they have. Stoudemire, Chandler, Anthony Landry Fields yesterday, 10 points, 11 rebounds. Now, we talked about Novak. I think his touches are going to be limited now. He was 3 for 10 yesterday for 8 points. But I think Novak's going to lose some minutes. Jared Jeffrey's going to lose some minutes. Baron Davis is going to move into that backup point guard role. Shumpert will be back. Walker's going to lose some minutes. So they got a lot of moving pieces here that they have to get together. Lynn can definitely run the show. I'll say it again. People think he didn't play well yesterday. His line is 21 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds, 4 steals. So he's clearly shown, except to a very few, the Jason Terrys of the world. He's clearly shown that he's a good NBA point guard. The question, of course, is how good. And he's going to have to be real good to combine this group of players. You got a lot of guys who need the ball. Carmelo Anthony needs the ball. Stoudemire needs the ball. Baron Davis, now he'll probably be in for Lynn, he needs the ball. J.R. Smith needs the ball. 2 for 8 for 4 points yesterday for J.R. Smith. So I don't want to say they've acquired too much talent, but it's going to be hard mid-season to mold all of those players together into a cohesive unit. But I'll say it again. If any point guard can do it, it's Jeremy Lin. This guy sees things that most point guards don't see. I mean, if you watch the game, the initial pass, he made like a 25-foot bounce pass to Tyson Chandler for a dunk for the first basket, first Knicks basket. It was unbelievable. Again, you just don't show up out of nowhere and you're able to do that. You just don't. So I think you still have a lot of misconceptions about Jeremy Lin, but make no mistake. It was the Darren Williams show, 38 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 8 for 14 from 3, and boy, was he on fire. Marshawn Brooks, 18 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists. He's a good player. Chris Humphries, 14 and 14. He's a good player. Deshaun Stevenson, 14 and 4 rebounds. He's a good player. And Sheldon Williams, only 2 points. But again, I think he was trying to show the Knicks, his former team. He had 10 rebounds. I thought he played very well. Sundiata Gaines off the bench, 8 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds. He played well. In fact, the only guy who didn't play well was Morrow, who's one of the best 3-point shooters in the NBA. He was 0 for 3 from 3 and 1 for 7, but he had a couple of big points and foul shots down the stretch when the Knicks kind of closed it. They did close it a little, but the only reason it was maybe in doubt is because Darren Williams fouled out. He wound up only playing 33 minutes. Think about that, 38 points in 33 minutes. But again, when he gets it going, he's as good as there is in the NBA. So you learned a lot about the Knicks yesterday. They've got a ways to go, 16 and 17 now. I think you learned a little about the New Jersey Nets. Again, they're playing without their center all year, Brooke Lopez. They're 10 and 24. Now, Lopez played 2 nights ago, his first game of the year. They wanted to give him last night off. They're bringing him back slowly from that broken foot. But I think really what you're looking at here are the possibilities of a trade. Howard, I think, has continued to say he's not coming back to Orlando next year. Orlando right now has no plans to trade him. But again, they don't want to get LeBron. We've talked about this over the last month. Cavaliers hoped, prayed, did everything they could to keep LeBron. Obviously would not trade him at the trade deadline. And then he decided to go to Miami. So they got nothing for him. Dwight Howard has made it pretty clear he still wants to be traded somewhere. Lakers, Nets. But so far, nothing has happened. And again, if the Nets can get him and Darren Williams, and they already have a decent supporting cast, depending on who they have to give up, you know a deal will include Lopez and presumably at least a number one draft pick. But they've got some players on that roster. They've got a good coach. I think the future of New Jersey in Brooklyn, when they come to one of the 5 boroughs, probably 10 miles from Madison Square Garden, relies on the fact as to whether or not they get Dwight Howard. If they do, Williams stays. If they don't, I can't believe Williams is going to stay. He likes it. He says all the right things. He has a good coach to play for. But again, he's like everybody else. He wants to win. And the Nets, as constituted, at best, would be fighting for a number 8 seed. Drop Dwight Howard into that lineup. Big things could happen for the New Jersey, soon-to-be Brooklyn Nets. But yesterday, the Nets take back the headlines. Darren Williams had no problem saying, you know, he was sick of hearing about Lynn's sanity. And he certainly showed who the better point guard is. But Lynn, to me, still showed he can run the show under very difficult circumstances with Anthony coming back. An excellent line, only 3 turnovers. The kid's getting killed for turnovers. He handles the ball 85% of the time, 90% of the time when he's in the game. So you can expect his turnover numbers to be a little higher. He had an in-depth interview on ESPN and a 30-minute interview on MSG, and it's very clear to me that he's playing with a bit of a chip on his shoulder, which you can understand. He said he was never given the benefit of the doubt. He thought it was a problem to others that he was an Asian American. He's coming out of the Ivy League, never a good thing, in terms of getting respect in a professional basketball team, system, organization, game. But to me, certainly not to everybody, but to me, he's wiped away all those questions. This kid can play. And clearly the book on him is to try and beat him up, but he takes the punishment. You know, they say he's 6'3", 200 pounds. He's very strong. I mean, that's not big by NBA standards by any means. But he's very strong. He takes a licking and keeps on ticking. So I don't think he's going to be afraid. But his job now, to me, has become even tougher because you got a lot of guys who need the ball. And he's the guy who's going to have to get it to him in the right places at the right time. Nets 100, Knicks 92. The Knicks wind up before the All-Star break with Atlanta at home tomorrow and then Miami down in South Beach on Thursday. That should be very interesting. Another big game yesterday, the Celtics going down to Dallas to play the defending champion Mavericks. Now, the Mavericks, I thought they played well against the Knicks. The Knicks just were unconscious to beat Dallas on Sunday in the Madison Square Garden on national TV. But the Mavericks, a very good team. You know I don't like them to win a championship because they lost Tyson Chandler. Stupid. If Mark Cuban just didn't want to pay him the money, that's stupid. He was the key to their winning the championship. Dallas now is no different than they were the 5 years before they won the championship. And yeah, the numbers say they're great defensively, and they held the Celtics yesterday to 73 points, Dallas 89, Celtics 73. But I think you miss the point if you don't understand what Tyson Chandler brings in the playoff setting. And, of course, they also don't have J.J. Barea. But yesterday, the Mavericks back home, 89. The Celtics, 73. Now, no Kevin Garnett for the Celtics. No Rajon Rondo, who stupidly threw a ball at an official we talked about yesterday. You knew he was going to get suspended. Turns out he's suspended for 2 games. And I think Rondo is the best player on that team now. Pierce is fine, Allen's fine, Garnett's fine, Rondo's the man, in my opinion. Boston drops to 15-15, Dallas moves up to 20-12. Yesterday, Dirk Nowitzki, still a superstar, 26 points, 16 rebounds. Jason Terry off the bench, still the best or one of the best 6 men in the league, 16 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. Now, his comments on Jeremy Lin, just ridiculous. Well, anybody who plays in that system and plays that much is going to put up big numbers. I don't think so. The Knicks had about 5 guys before Jeremy Lin who played in that system and couldn't put up any numbers, couldn't put up any wins, and it's all about wins. So Jason Terry, even though he's a great basketball player, he doesn't quite get it. Cedric Maxwell, he doesn't quite get it. Floyd Mayweather, he doesn't get it at all. But that's okay. The Mavericks bury the Celtics 89-73. Jason Kidd, 6 points, 8 assists. For the Celtics, again, no Rondo, no Garnett. Pierce, 20 points, 4 rebounds. Allen, 15 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Wilcox in place of Garnett, who has played well in the past, no good yesterday. 2 points, 1 rebound. Celtics only had 3 guys in double figures. Now, again, Dallas is good defensively. I think come playoff time, not as good as they were last year. But right now, they're playing really well. So the Mavericks beat the Celtics. The Mavericks 89, the Celtics 73. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at sportstalknetwork.com.
Think Fish with Frank Reese on Blue Zoo Radio, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. exclusively on sportstalknetwork.com.
These days, you hear them everywhere. Get out of debt quick promises asking you to call right now to solve all your credit problems. But please, listen carefully. Don't make a huge mistake. There is a better way. Trinity Debt Management. Many debt settlement companies have created a dangerous misunderstanding. Simply put, debt settlement often ends up destroying your credit and ultimately may lead to asset seizure and bankruptcy. There is a better way out. Trinity Debt Management can show you how to pay off your debt, preserve your good name, save thousands in interest, and in the end, actually improve your credit rating, not destroy it. Say no to debt settlement. Say yes to debt management. Trinity Debt Management. Make the right choice and become debt-free for keeps. Call 1-800-780-0646. That's 1-800-780-0646.
SportsTalkNetwork.com is now mobile. Watch or listen to your favorite Sports Talk Network program live or on demand with the new STN web app. The STN web app works on all smartphones, including iPhones, Android, and BlackBerry. Go to m.sportstalknetwork.com on your phone's web browser and bookmark the app. No downloads and no fees. Fresh audio, video shows, sports news, and more content delivered to your phone whenever you want. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. And now on your phone.
Hikari, established in 1877 with more than 130 years of experience, is the world's foremost authority on aquatic nutrition. We know what it takes to offer you and your aquatic pets nutrition that can help them look their best and live a long and healthy life. If you're looking for the best aquatic diets for your hard-earned dollar, look no further than Hikari, the aquatic nutrition leader worldwide. For further information, visit HikariUSA.com and our direct link at BlueZooRadio.com.
You're listening to thesportstalknetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you can stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We'll get to the rest of the NBA in a bit. First, I want to switch to baseball, though. Obviously, a lot going on. A lot of teams reporting every day. Yesterday, Albert Pujols, the former Cardinal, 11 years as a Cardinal, two World Series wins, reports 8 days early to Los Angeles Angels training camp, saying, quote, "I always report early," close quote. Clearly, he's changed not only the balance of power with the Angels and the Cardinals, but arguably the balance of power between the American League and the National League, along with Prince Fielder coming over to Detroit. Fielder himself went in a day early to Detroit. I'm not quite sure why they're the favorites to win it all, but they are. Obviously, they have good fielding. Obviously, they've replaced Martinez out for the year with Prince Fielder. I think it's fair to say Fielder Cabrera is the best, you know, 1-2 punch in baseball. But still, until you've actually done it, obviously they have a great manager in Leland. But whatever, Pujols in 8 days early. Prince Fielder is in a day early. Interesting signing. Manny Ramirez, of all people, who retired, I guess that's in quotes, retired after playing 5 games with Tampa Bay last year. Of course, he's facing, was and still is facing, a 50-game suspension for his second positive drug test. Signed a minor league deal yesterday with the Oakland A's for approximately $500,000 if he's added to the big league roster. He's going to be into spring training the end of the week. He's going to participate in Oakland's first full squad workout on Saturday. Right now he is a non-roster invitee. But apparently he wants to come back and play. If he does come back and makes the team, barring rainouts, his first game will be on May 30th, which is also his 40th birthday. Manny Ramirez, look, I think the greatest hitter I've seen in the last 20 years. I've sat in Yankee Stadium where a guy threw him 6 fastballs in a row and then threw him a hook and he hit it 420 feet. The only other guy I've seen do that is Cabrera. So he's a stunning hitter, Manny Ramirez. Can he help the A's as a DH? Yeah. Can he play a little left field? I don't know. I think it's worth, for a team like the A's at that price, I think it's worth it. And apparently he wants to come back again and play. The Yankees signed Raul Abanez, who had an up-and-down year with the Phillies last year, to a $1.1 million contract plus incentives, one-year deal. Abanez, look, finished with 20 home runs, 84 RBI, so obviously he had a good year, but there were times there where he couldn't hit for what seemed like weeks on end. Although his numbers were good, you know, by the end of the year. A good deal, a good signing for the Yankees. You know, the Yankees, a lot now, they're making a lot. A.J. Burnett, as you know, went to Pittsburgh. He's gone. The Yankees had to pick up, I think, $13 million of the remaining $20 million on his salary. But although he had his moments once in a while, that big World Series win in 2009, of course, for the most part, he just wasn't the guy. He now came out with some comments that the Yankees tinkered with him too much. That's why he couldn't produce. Of course, Brian Cashman was on the radio in New York yesterday and said, look, the guy was obviously having problems here. We did the best we can to help him. He did come up big for us in 2009. I take the blame. I brought him here. You know, they gave him that 5-year, $82 million contract. But now with A.J. gone, the Yankees have 6 starters for 5 spots. Sabathia, Nova, Michael Pineda, Hiroki Kuroda, Phil Hughes, of course, and Freddy Garcia. One of those guys will not be in the starting rotation. They won't go to the 6-man rotation like they did last year because Sabathia didn't like it. So the Yankees, as Sabathia said, last year they were wondering who are going to be their number four and five starters. This year there's going to be a battle for the fifth starter, so obviously the Yankees at least now are pitching rich. But I say nowadays you need six starters, not five, because you know one of them is getting hurt. That's just the nature of baseball now. These pitchers are not durable at all. You know, a guy like Sabathia, you expect him to go out and throw his 34 starts. But most of these other guys, it's unusual if you get 30 out of them, never mind 34. So I think the Yankees are set up well pitching-wise. The other big news in New York, and it's a little cryptic what Mariano Rivera said, but he announced, and again, to me this is a little bizarre, but he's Mariano Rivera, so what can you say? He can do whatever he wants. Rivera announces yesterday that he has decided whether he's going to retire at the end of the year or play after this coming season, but he's not going to tell anybody yet. And when pushed on it, can you give us a hint? Can you tell us which way you're leaning? He said, no, I've decided, but I'm not going to tell you. So I'm not sure why he said that. He's Mariano Rivera. He can do whatever he wants. He's still playing at an incredibly high level. He's not a guy who tailed off like a Posada. You know, and now they're saying, oh, the core four, they're starting to leave one at a time. Pettit two seasons ago. Posada last season. Maybe Rivera this season. When is Jeter going to leave? I don't think anybody really cares about that, except on the field, Rivera can do it still at a very high level. I would think if he can still do it really well, he would want to keep going, but maybe he wants to get out on top. And he's certainly on top. You know, the debate continues to go on. Everyone calls him the greatest relief pitcher ever. I would call him the greatest one-inning closer ever. I think it's unfair to guys like Gossage, for example, Bruce Sutter. I mean, guys who used to come in, again, 25, 35 years ago, the closer or the relief specialist would come in, bases loaded, one out, bottom of the seventh. And then he'd get out of that jam and pitch another two innings. Rivera doesn't do that, nor is he expected to do it. It's really obviously become specialized. Starting pitchers are specialized. They go six innings, seven innings. If they come out for the eighth, nowadays they're hailed as heroes. Which leads you now to the eighth inning setup guy. Or the middle relief guy who comes in for the sixth and seventh when your starter only goes five, which happens a lot nowadays. Everybody's on a pitch count. You get to 100, you get all nervous. Of course, it didn't used to be like that. But Rivera, without a doubt, the greatest one-inning, ninth-inning closer ever in the history of the game. His numbers in the postseason off the charts. He could probably do this for more than this year if he wants to, but we'll see if he wants to or not. Again, I have no idea why he was being coy with the media. I'll let you know when I let you know. You'll know when I tell you. But I think people have thought Rivera was going to retire like every year for the last 3 years, but he's continued to perform at an all-time high. He's able to still make that cutter move. And as long as he can do that, he can pitch. You know, he throws 90, 91. He doesn't throw 95. If he really brings it, he gets up to 92. But it doesn't matter. You know what's coming, and you can't hit it. There's never been another guy in relief like him come in with one pitch and do what he does. And now they say he's doing other things, but essentially at the end of the day, his outpitch is his cutter. So Mariano Rivera has apparently decided what he's going to do, but also has apparently decided not to tell anybody just yet. We'll get back to the NBA in a minute. A couple of brief NFL notes. This made no sense. We discussed it when it happened that Robert Griffin III and Andrew Luck were both going to have their pro day workout on the same day, March 22nd. That made no sense. So Robert Griffin III has moved his workout up a day to March 21st. So Griffin works out March 21st for the pro scouts. Andrew Luck works out March 22nd for the pro scouts. And again, I don't think the Colts are going to draft anyone other than Andrew Luck, although Irsay has been a little coy in his own right about, oh, we're going to draft a quarterback. No meeting yet, or I guess now Irsay says he and Peyton have had some conversations, but they haven't had that sit-down meeting about what they're going to do about his future. To me, listening to what Irsay has said in the last week, it's almost like he's begging for Manning to give him a counteroffer so he doesn't have to give him $28 million on March 8th. I don't think Manning's going to do that. But, hey, you never know. But they have not met for that big meeting, if you will, to determine whether or not he's going to remain a Colt. I'll say it again. Maybe I'll write an article on this in the next day or two. Why does Peyton Manning want to be a Colt? Is it for money? Is it because he spent his whole career with the Colts? Because I don't think even he shows up 100% healthy next year and wins the Super Bowl with Indianapolis. Are they a playoff team with Peyton Manning because he's Peyton Manning? Well, maybe. Are they a threat to win it all, to beat the Steelers, to beat the Patriots, to beat the Ravens? I don't think so. But his options, Washington, Miami, I don't know. You drop him on one of those teams, are they Super Bowl contenders? I don't think so. But we'll wait and see what happens. Over in Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger has not yet spoken to the new Pittsburgh offensive coordinator, Todd Haley, formerly of the Chiefs, fired as Chiefs head coach. Haley kind of wore out his welcome in Kansas City, you know, got off to that good start. Then when things went bad, the team essentially turned on him. Romeo Crennel now taking over there. You recall, of course, the Chiefs beat the Packers. That cemented Crennel's job from interim head coach to head coach. But it's interesting, Roethlisberger not happy with the progression of the offense in Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh, of course, has been mainly a defensive team for the last decade, certainly for the two Roethlisberger-led Super Bowls. So it's interesting that he, you know, Haley was hired, I think, 11 or 12 days ago now, and they have not yet spoken. But I guess you could argue it's the offseason, et cetera, et cetera, so they don't have to speak. But that's now making news in Pittsburgh. Let's go back to the NBA now. A number of other interesting games. The Hawks in an afternoon game because it was President's Day going to Chicago to play the Bulls. The Bulls now have Derrick Rose back. Bulls 90, Hawks 79. The Hawks are a good team, but kind of up and down. They're now 19-13. You can't knock that in the East. But the Bulls with a healthy Rose are very tough, 26-8 now. Rose goes for 23 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. Boozer 16 and 5 rebounds. Lou Aldang, an all-star, 10 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. And Joakim Noah, only 5 points, but 16 rebounds, and that's what he does well. I'm still not sure who that second guy is. Kyle Korver, who I thought would give them a huge lift off the bench, 12 minutes, 0 for 4 yesterday, all 3-pointers. So he hasn't been the guy. They need another scorer. Or I think they're going to meet the same fate they met last year. And that's assuming Rose is healthy, back after missing 5 games with a back problem. For Atlanta, Joe Johnson, 12 points, 4 assists. Now, Johnson apparently is not going to play against the Knicks tomorrow night. He's got some tendonitis as well. Smith, 17 points, 12 rebounds for Atlanta. Pargo off the bench, 19 points, 5 rebounds. Tracy McGrady complaining about his playing time. 21 minutes yesterday, 2 for 3 from the floor, 6 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Atlanta, again, has a lot of good players. Joe Johnson, I agree, the quiet superstar. But they just don't, to me, they're just not going to get over the hump, although they got a nice squad. Yesterday, the Bulls beat them in Chicago. Chicago 90, Atlanta 79. A few other games quickly. The Trail Blazers, not good on the road. Go into Los Angeles to play the Lakers. Great at home. The Lakers get the win, 103-92. Lakers now 14-2 at home. You know the famous stuff going on in Los Angeles. Kobe said, quote, "I'd rather they not trade him at all," close quote, referring to Pau Gasol. Mitch Kupchak felt obligated to come out with a public statement, the GM of the Lakers. Well, we're always trying to improve our team. I can't say what we're going to do or what we're not going to do, which I guess is right, but Gasol's been playing kind of with the sword of Damocles over his head. He was gone if they approved the Chris Paul deal, which they didn't. Gasol yesterday, 38 minutes, 16 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists. He's having a very good year. Kobe's Kobe, 28 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. The Lakers hammer the Trailblazers, 103-92. Bynum, 14 points, 19 rebounds. Obviously, that's their big big three. Steve Blake off the bench, 17 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. He's going to play as much or more as Derek Fisher as the year season goes on. For Portland, LaMarcus Aldridge back in the lineup, 18 points, 8 rebounds. Batum, 18 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Jamal Crawford off the bench, 15 points, 4 assists. Some more bad news for Portland and Greg Oden. Oden, you recall from Ohio State, has been hurt like his whole career in the pros. But yesterday, they were doing a simple procedure on Greg Oden's left knee just to clear out debris in his knee, but it resulted in another microfracture surgery. They thought it was just going to be an arthroscopic procedure. But now the surgeon, once he was in there, determined there was additional damage. So now Oden, the number one pick in the 2007 NBA draft, has now had 2 microfracture surgeries on his left knee and 1 on his right knee. He has not played an NBA game since December 5th, 2009. So Greg Oden out for the season. Of course, Brandon Roy retired because of those arthritic knees. Portland's got a nice team. They're 17-16 now. But imagine them with a healthy Brandon Roy and a healthy Greg Oden. That's just the way it goes sometimes in the NBA. The Lakers move to 19-13. We'll wrap up the rest of the NBA, and we'll get to the NHL as well. After these messages, this is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7 online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
You want to put your nest egg somewhere where it will grow. Gold has given investors a 300% return over the last 10 years. You want an investment that's safe. Gold American Eagles are guaranteed by the U.S. government for weight and purity. You want to work with someone you can trust. Blanchard & Company was founded over 35 years ago. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You want an investment that's liquid in case you need your money fast. Well, Blanchard guarantees to buy back any gold you invest in with them at the current market rates anytime you want to sell. And you want someone you can talk to ask questions and find out what's right for you. Blanchard has set up a special toll-free line to give you a free one-on-one consultation and information with a gold expert. Just call 800-309-5530. That's 800-309-5530. For free gold information, call now. 800-309-5530. 800-309-5530.
Your Major League Baseball news when you want it 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard to find parts. Visit us today at SupplyLineElectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfi and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. I want to go through the rest of the NBA game quickly. I just want to talk about for a minute one play in one game. The Timberwolves go to Denver to play the Nuggets. The game goes to overtime. Ty Lawson, the Nuggets point guard, hurts his ankle. Andre Miller, having a pretty good season as the backup point guard, stupidly gets thrown out of the game. So Denver essentially playing towards the end and the overtime without a point guard. But despite all that, Denver goes up three very late in the overtime. Denver actually has the ball with 4.9 seconds left. They're inbounding on the side at half court. Martell Webster of Minnesota makes a very good play to steal the ball. And then down three with 4.9 seconds left, when he gets the ball, he inexplicably goes to the basket and dunks it. And, of course, they wind up losing because they needed to shoot a three. So you got to have a sense of where you are and what the score is and how far you're behind. Webster, a seventh-year pro, just apparently didn't know his team was down three late in the game, goes in for the dunk. Denver winds up winning. They obviously foul quickly, but they don't get another shot off. Denver 103, Minnesota 101. Aaron Aflalo, 20 points for Denver. Al Harrington off the bench, 40 minutes, 31 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists. Denver 18 and 15 again. They don't have any stars on this team. Fareed, the all-time leading rebounder in NCAA history, 10 points, 14 rebounds. Even Miller, 5 points, 6 rebounds, 12 assists in 28 minutes before getting thrown out. Again, they have a lot of good players. I don't think it's going to help them that much in the playoffs, though. Just my personal opinion. Nuggets 103, Timberwolves 101. Kevin Love, 22 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists. Ricky Rubio, 16 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Luke Ridnour, 12 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists. And Michael Beasley, a very talented player, 17 points off the bench. Webster with that dunk, finished with 10 points and 4 rebounds in 31 minutes of action. Nuggets 103, Timberwolves 101. Just to go through the rest of the games quickly, Spurs beat the Jazz in Utah 106-102. Tony Parker, 23 points and 11 assists. Al Jefferson, 20 and 11 for the Jazz. The Magic beat the Bucks in Milwaukee 93-90. What can you say about Dwight Howard? 28 points, 16 rebounds to lead everybody and everything. Brandon Jennings, 22 points for the Bucks. The Thunder beat the Hornets 101-93. 31 for Westbrook, 31 for Durant. And, you know, the Hornets played very well, I thought, against the Knicks on Friday. The Knicks, of course, got slaughtered for losing to the Hornets and now the Nets last night. But the Hornets had a three-game winning streak in this Thunder-Hornets game. The Hornets were down 26, and they cut it to 6 with a minute left. But then the Thunder hit their free throws. They win at home 101-93. Their record is now 25-7. The Thunder, obviously, a very good team, and in my view, a championship contender. Just a couple of other games quickly. The Rockets beat the Grizzlies 97-93. Lowry with 24 for the Rockets. Rudy Gay with 23 for the Grizzlies. The Warriors beat the Clippers. Warriors at home. Monte Ellis, 32 points. David Lee, 13 rebounds. 104-97. Warriors over the Clippers. Paul leads the Clippers with 24 points and 6 assists. And finally, the Suns beat the Wizards in Phoenix, 104-88. Gortat, their big man, 20 points. Steve Nash, who else, 11 assists. Crawford with 20 points for the Wizards. Those are all your NBA games from last night. Quickly in college, a few games. UConn having a down year. Calhoun's been out for like five games with back trouble. They go to Villanova. Villanova not having a good year either. UConn with a glimmer of hope to make the tournament. They're down 18. Their coach isn't there. But Jeremy Lamb ties up the game late, sends it into overtime. Lamb 11 for 21 from the field for 32 points. UConn goes up 2 in the overtime, but Villanova goes the length of the floor to tie up the game with 5.4 seconds left. UConn inbounds the ball to Shabazz Napier, who had been very vocal about criticizing his UConn teammates for not trying their best, for actually quitting one game. And again, no Jim Calhoun around. George Blaney's the coach, a veteran coach, but it's just, as with St. John's, it's just not the same if you don't have your head coach. No Calhoun for UConn, obviously no Steve Lavin for St. John's. But Shabazz Napier, who had criticized his team before the game, takes the ball inbounds, dribbles past half court, throws up a 30-footer at the buzzer to win the game. UConn beats Villanova, UConn 73, Villanova 70. Keeps their hopes alive. UConn 7-8 in the Big East. And look, they haven't played that well this year, but you know what happened last year. UConn was 9-9 in the Big East. Ran the table at the Big East tournament at Madison Square Garden, and then, of course, ran the table six games in March Madness to become the national champions. This team doesn't have a Kemba Walker, although Jeremy Lamb's a very good player, and they're not going to repeat that this year. But just from a keep your hope alive to make the tournament, they're 7-8 in the Big East, they're 17-9 overall. They certainly have a chance still to make the tournament, but if they had lost to Villanova and had been 6-9, that would have been, I think, a big problem. So UConn keeps their hopes alive, slim as they are. Again, can they make a run in the Big East tournament? Well, no Kemba Walker, but certainly they might have a chance to make a run in the tournament this year. The only ranked team in action yesterday, number 13 Baylor goes to Texas. Texas, a bubble team, probably needed a win, but Baylor beats Texas. Baylor 77, Texas 72. Texas drops to 17-11. Baylor moves up to 23-5. Quincy Acey, a very good player for Baylor, 22 points, 16 rebounds in 39 minutes of play. Pierre Jackson, 25 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds for Baylor. Baylor 77, Texas 72. Jacobin Brown plays the entire game for Texas, all 40 minutes, 18 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds. He's a very good player. McClellan off the bench for Texas had 13, but not enough. Can Texas make the tournament? Well, they're a bubble team. We'll talk more about that in the next few weeks, obviously, with March Madness not too far away. But yesterday, Baylor, who had fallen off, they had lost three of their last four games. Baylor beats Texas, a good road win for Baylor. Baylor 77, Texas 72. Just want to take a look quickly at the NCAA men's top 25. And look, it's been Kentucky and Syracuse now for a long time. In the AP poll, Kentucky got 63 of 65 first-place votes. Syracuse got the other two. Kentucky 26-1. Syracuse 27-1. To me, they're far and away the best two teams in the country. If you had to pick a pool today, I think you would wind up picking Kentucky-Syracuse in the final. We're all looking for upsets, but my goodness, I think those two teams are head and shoulders over the rest of the country. Missouri at 25-2, number three. Kansas, 22-5, number four. Duke, 23-4, number five. And essentially that was the top five this week and was the top five last week. Things have changed a little after that. Michigan State moves up to number six. And again, Michigan State is a very good team. They beat Wisconsin and Purdue last week, two good wins for them. And they should beat Minnesota at Minnesota and Nebraska at home this week. North Carolina moves up from 8-7. Ohio State drops from 6-8. Now, you know, Ohio State's been my pick all year to win the national championship. They did lose to Michigan 56-51 last week, so that's a problem. They're going to have to get it together. I still think they can make a run. But again, even if I had to rank them now, I'd say they're third. I'd say they're behind Kentucky and Syracuse. So I'll have to keep an eye on Ohio State. They drop from 6-8. Georgetown moves up from 10-9. Georgetown has a pretty good team. Obviously, John Thompson III is a very good coach. Marquette moves into the top 10, another Big East team in the top 10. They're 22-5. Michigan moves from 17-11 off their big win against Ohio State, 56-51. Michigan now 20-7. And just to finish out the top 15, Florida moves up from 14-12. Baylor drops from 9-13. They lost to Kansas State last week. Murray State, obviously you knew when they lost they were going to drop out of the top 10. They dropped all the way to 16th. But last week they beat Southeast Missouri State and then beat a ranked St. Mary's team soundly, 65-61. St. Mary's has since dropped out of the top 25. But St. Mary's is a pretty good team, so that catapults Murray State from 16-14. And then rounding out the top 15, moving all the way up from 20th, is Florida State, a very good team, coached by Leonard Hamilton, who used to coach Miami down in Florida, as opposed to Miami of Ohio. He can recruit down there. Florida State 19-7. Last week they beat Virginia Tech and North Carolina State. This week they play Duke, and then they at home at Florida State, and then they go down to play Hamilton's old team at Miami. So it'll be an interesting week for Florida State. Wisconsin drops to 16, even though they're a very good team. They did lose to Michigan State last week. Michigan State, obviously, in my view, now a top five team in the country. So that rounds out your top 15, 16, if you will, in college basketball. As we get closer to March Madness, we'll do some more stuff, obviously, on March Madness. One interesting game in the MAC. Now, Iona, a surprise team. They don't get a lot of publicity outside of the Northeast, but Iona, a very good team this year. They lead the MAC. Yesterday, Fairfield held Marist to 12 first-half points to beat Marist 60-49. Fairfield now 17-11 overall, but 12-4 in the MAC. They've tied Loyola of Maryland for second place in the league. Both of them, Loyola of Maryland and Fairfield, only one game behind Iona. I think Iona is the best team in that league. They should get, if they don't get an at-large bid, they should be able to win that tournament and get an automatic bid. If they don't win the tournament, I think they have a chance for an at-large bid. But if you get a chance to see Iona play, you should watch them because they have a very talented team. Let's switch to the NHL now. Only a couple of games yesterday in the NHL. Interestingly, two shutouts. The Caps go down to Carolina to play the Hurricanes. Carolina 5, Washington nothing. If I told you one team scored five goals and the other team scored none, I think you would have picked Washington to score the five. But yesterday, Carolina gets two goals from Eric Staal, his 17th and 18th of the year. In addition, Justin Falk scores his sixth. Anthony Stewart scores his seventh with an assist from Eric Staal. Andreas Nodal scores his third. So Staal, the star of the game, two goals, one assist. Carolina 5, Washington nothing. Peters of Carolina does get the shutout. So obviously it's his first shutout of the year. Obviously, though, he is the star of the game as well. The other game, an afternoon game out in Long Island, New York. Ottawa comes down to New York to face the Islanders. Ottawa buries the Islanders. Ottawa 6, the Islanders nothing. Jason Spezza, the star of the game, scores two goals, his 26th and 27th of the year. Erik Karlsson also scores two goals, his 11th and 12th of the year. Another star of the game, of course, goalie Craig Anderson of Ottawa, who records his third shutout of the year. Ottawa 6, the New York Islanders nothing. The Islanders trying to make a run for the playoffs, but it looks like it's just not going to happen. Al Montoya was in the net. You know, the Islanders still have problems in the net. Nabokov, they're talking about whether they should sign him long-term. He's a pretty good goalie. DiPietro, of course, always hurt. A good goalie when healthy, but always hurt. The Islanders signed him to like a 15-year contract 4 years ago, and the guy's been hurt, it seems like, almost for all 4 years. In the NHL, the Rangers, the best team in the East, 81 points, 38 wins, 14 losses, 5 overtime losses. Boston with 72 and Florida with 65 lead their respective divisions. The Rangers with 9 points more than any other team in the East. That's pretty impressive. The New Jersey Devils, one of the hottest teams in hockey, they move into second in the Rangers Atlantic Division. They have 72 points, 34, 20, and 4 overtime losses. Philly qualifies 5th right now. With 71 in the tiebreaker over Pittsburgh, who is 6th with 71 points. Ottawa, 7th with 70 points. Toronto right now with the tiebreaker over Winnipeg. They would be the 8th playoff team if the playoffs started today. They have 64 points. Winnipeg in 9th with 64. Washington in 10th with 63. Then you have to go back to 58 points for Tampa Bay, the Islanders, and Montreal, but they're going to have a number of teams to jump, obviously. And then Buffalo and Carolina, both with 57 points, the last two teams in the Eastern Conference. Over in the West, Detroit with the most incredible home winning streak in the history of the National Hockey League, now 23 wins in a row at home. Detroit has the most points in hockey, 84 points, 41 wins, 17 losses, 2 overtime losses. Vancouver coming back now, right behind them with 82 points. They lead the Northwest Division, 38 wins, 15 losses, 6 overtime losses, and a game in hand on the Red Wings. San Jose leads the Pacific Division with 69. The St. Louis Blues qualify 4th right now. They're 2nd in the Central to Detroit. They have 79 points. Then Nashville with 74. The Blackhawks in 6th with 71. Phoenix in 7th with 67 points. And Calgary with the last playoff spot with 65 points. They have the tiebreaker over the Kings, who also have 65 points. Still a logjam there in 10th and 11th with 62 points. Dallas and Colorado, respectively. Minnesota Wild with 61 points. Anaheim with 60 points. They're 13th, so they have a lot of work to do to get to 8th. And then, frankly, Edmonton and Columbus with 50 and 41 points, respectively. They're not going to make the playoffs this year. That rounds out the Western Conference. Your TV tonight, a lot of hockey. The NBC Sports Channel, game of the night, 8 o'clock Eastern, the Red Wings at the Blackhawks. Again, Chicago playing better now after ending that 9-game losing streak by beating the Rangers. They host the Red Wings, who have not been great on the road, obviously. If you have the MSG group of channels, all 3 New York area teams in action. The Rangers at Pittsburgh to play the Penguins, 7 o'clock Eastern on MSG. The Islanders up at Buffalo to play the Sabres, 7 o'clock Eastern on MSG+. The Devils go up to Toronto to play the Maple Leafs, 7 o'clock Eastern on MSG+, 2. The NBA doubleheader on the NBA network. Sacramento down to Miami to play the Heat, 7:30 Eastern. After that, San Antonio goes up to Portland to play the Trail Blazers. The Spurs have been unbelievable on the road of late. They go up to play Portland. That's 10 o'clock Eastern on the NBA Network. Of course, 7 o'clock out on the West Coast. College basketball tonight, 7 o'clock, Illinois at Ohio State, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. Auburn at Florida, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPNU. Kansas State at Missouri, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN2. Then the 9 o'clock games, 2 games, Kentucky at Mississippi State. Number 1 Kentucky, of course, at Mississippi State, 9 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. And Virginia at Virginia Tech, 9 o'clock Eastern on ESPNU. That's your TV for tonight. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.